I am Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's program of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Indeed, that is our prayer and our desire, is that hope will flow from this program and also flow from all of us who get to take part in it, not just on the airwaves, but also in living our daily life with each person we encounter. We are carriers of hope, and hope has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to continue a series that we come back to every so often. It's called Praying the Psalms. And today, we're going to pick up on Psalm 35 and just sort of move forward quickly from there. I've been going through the Bible, the Old Testament, particularly this year, and been finding places to offer prayers to God using the Word of God. You know, it has been said that if you pray the Word of God, you pray the will of God. And I believe that with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so today I'm going to just make some notations of prayers that I've written in the fly leaf of my Bible and on the columns of the Psalms. And I pray that it will in some way invigorate your soul and give to you peace, joy, and the favor of God Himself. In Psalm 35, we began reading the psalmist saying words like this: O Lord, oppose those who oppose you. Fight those who fight against me. Put on your armor and take up your shield. Prepare for battle and come to my aid. Lift up your spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Let me hear you say, I will give you victory. And that's the first place that I began to write my own prayer in the column of Psalm 35. And I wrote these words: Be my victory, O Lord, heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, we want Him to be our victor, and we want Him to be our victory. Unless He is our victor and He is our victory, we will become victims of the enemy. So let's all of us be in prayer for victory in Jesus. That's an old hymn of the church, Grayson, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. And a lot of people love that anthem of the church, Victory in Jesus. We can pray today knowing that we can have victory because of the victor, Christ Jesus is His name. Grayson, when you think of victory in Jesus, what might be some things you'd want to share with us here on the front porch today?
Well, Dad, when you talk about having victory in Jesus, I think about how because Jesus came and was born on this earth and died on the cross for our sins, He gave us victory over death and victory over the evil one. So we just have to ask Him into our hearts and accept that victory that is offered to us freely and live lives that are pleasing to Him and that give Him glory. And that is how we have victory in Jesus, because He came to this earth to die for our sins.
Amen. And He wants us to have victory, not defeat. I mean, He took on our defeat and defeated it in His own death, so that we could now live in the victory of His resurrection. And that is where our joy should be lodged, right there at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who defeated death by taking on our death and then overcoming death and the grave and being the victor. He is the victor over death and hell and sin, and He comes to bring us that victory as we are in right relationship with Him. Going on in Psalm 35, we read these words in verse 22. Do not abandon me now, O Lord. I just pray that verbatim. Do not abandon me, O Lord. I know one thing for sure. Jesus has promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. Surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And I take Him at His word. I know that He will not abandon me and He will not abandon you. And we do not want to be found abandoning Him. Actually, we want to abandon to God, not from God. We want to go to Him in abandon, surrender our lives totally to Him, because He first surrendered His life on Calvary for all of us. I'm going to skip over now to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is just an awesome psalm. There are many verses in Psalm 37 that people take for their own heart. Let me read a little bit of it. Psalm 37, a Psalm of David, New Living Translation of the Holy Bible. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass they soon fade away, like spring flowers they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Right there, Grayson, you probably know I'm going to stop, and in the column of my Bible, on Psalm 37, I have offered my own prayer based on verse 4 of Psalm 37, and this is my prayer. Lord, give me the desires of your heart. Make the desires of your heart the desires of my heart for your glory and for my good and for the good of others. So, Grayson, when we talk about delight in ourselves in the Lord and knowing His desires as our desires, I think you probably have a few ideas on that as well.
Yeah, certainly we should be happy with the Lord. We should be joyful because the Lord lives within us and He has blessed us in life with many blessings, even through hard times. He has promised us eternal life. And also what you were saying about give me the desires of your heart, or help my desires to be one with your desires. Certainly He wants us to want His will for our lives and not just what we want for our lives. And that's how we can best delight ourselves in Him, is by seeking what He wants for us and following His will for our lives day by day.
That's good, Grayson. And certainly we want not only to do His will, not only to know His will, but we really pray that we become His will. We want to become in our very lives what He has ordained, that we would be the true sons and daughters of Father God. There's another scripture that really stops my heart in Psalm 37, and it's verse 7. It says, "Be still in the presence of the Lord." And I just wrote out in the column of Psalm 37, verse 7, "Be still in the presence of the Lord." You know, Grayson, sometimes we have trouble being still. And we want to be active. There's things we want to do, places we want to go, people we want to see. But there is great value, don't you believe, in being still and just knowing that God really is God?
Yes, Dad, especially in this day and age when there's so much going on and so much noise around us to distract us. We just need to take time, a little bit of time out of our day, each day, to be still and know that He's God, and to take some time to hear from Him and also to share our thoughts with Him.
Exactly. In stillness, we often find strength for our soul. And certainly that is what reading the Word of God is all about, praying the Word of God is all about. And certainly we find strength in the stillness of the pages of the Psalms. And I am so grateful that we have this treasure, this collection of prayers that have already been prayed to God, but we can pray them again because God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like God is. The world will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. I want to go now to verse 38 of Psalm 37. It says, "But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future." You know, when I saw this, I just wrote these words in a prayerful attitude. There is no future in rebellion or religion, only in relationship. And so when I saw that scripture, "But the rebellious will be destroyed, they have no future," I realized that we cannot find hope for our future in rebellion. We cannot find hope for our future in religion, but we do find hope for our future in relationship with the Lord Himself. And that to me is just a powerful, powerful thought and a powerful, powerful prayer. I want to jump over to Psalm 38. We're coming back to an idea that reoccurs on and on in the Psalms. Verse 21, Psalm 38, "Do not abandon me, O Lord. Do not stand at a distance, my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior." So the psalmist was always crying out that God would not abandon him. And so I just wrote out in the column of Psalm 38 and verse 22, I wrote, "Don't abandon me, O Lord. Come quickly to help me, my Savior." And so, you know, He's not just the Savior, Grayson. He's my Savior. And the psalmist said, O Lord, my Savior, come quickly to help me. Well, what does it mean for you, Grayson, to say that the Lord is your Savior, not just the Savior of the world, not just the Messiah of the Jews, but He also is your Savior?
Well, He came to die for each and every one of us, and I know you've said this before on Front Porch Talks, Dad, but if each one of us was the only person living on the earth, He still would have sent His Son, Jesus, to die for us, because He loves us each and cares about each and every one of us and wants each and every one of us to spend life in eternity with Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, as well as the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. He longs for relationship with us today and tomorrow and forever. He wants to be our Savior, and He wants us to be His beloved ones, His beloved sons and daughters. I'm going to go now to Psalm 39, and I was reading verse 4. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. Then verse 5, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. Verse 6, we are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. And I just wrote out to the side of verse 4, Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life really is. So Grayson, we think about this idea of our earthly life, and you know, we think it's kind of long, I guess, sometimes, that we're going to grow to a ripe old age, but really old age, what really is old age when you think about eternity, and that we're going to live forever beyond this lifetime? So Grayson, when you think about the idea of your life being brief and you not wanting to forget to number your days, what kind of thoughts, even at your age, you're just 30 years old, I'm going to be 56 my next birthday. What kind of things do you think about when you hear the psalmist saying things like, remind me how brief my time on earth will be?
Well, Dad, when you talk about the number of our days, the Bible says that none of us are promised tomorrow. So it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You think about, you know, when your life will end or how much longer you have on this earth or when you will go to eternity, go to be with Jesus one day. And certainly we need to live each day as if it's our own, to make the most of every opportunity that God gives us and to live each day in a way that's pleasing to Him, whether we are going to be on this earth for, you know, 40 or 50 more years or, you know, 40 or 50 more days. We need to live each day of our life as if it's our last, because nobody is promised tomorrow, and we need to not take life for granted.
Yeah, the psalmist just puts an exclamation point on that idea, Grayson. In verse 5, he says, each of us is but a breath. And then in verse 11 of Psalm 39, he repeats it. He says, each of us is but a breath. He really wants us to hear what he's saying. He's being repetitious, because he wants to make sure we don't miss the reality of the brevity of earthly life. And so out in the column of verse 11, I wrote these words, each of us is but a breath, but you, O God, breathe eternal life into those who love you. So we have a hope that while our life here is brief, our life will not be interrupted. I mean, we will continue to live eternally. And we know that Jesus spoke in John 17 as he prayed to the Father, that if we know the Father and we know the Son, we already have eternal life. This is a beautiful, beautiful inheritance, Grayson, to know that while we will pass through earthly death, really we will go from life to life everlasting. And that really is hope, don't you think?
Yes, Dad. I think knowing that there's more than just this life, there's something better after this life. There's eternity in heaven with the Father God, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, where there's no more suffering, no more pain. That should give us hope no matter what our situation is in life. We know that we can have eternity one day if we live lives pleasing to God and live lives for Him. That is something to look forward to.
Exactly. We have anticipation. And life is hard, but God is good. And we know that for those of us who belong to Him, to those of us who will live in right relationship with God through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that things are going to get gooder and gooder and gooder for us. I like to say gooder. I love that word. We sing this song around the church, "You are good, good, good." I love that song. It's very simplistic, but very profound, that we sing to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit One, "You are good, good, good." And because He is good, things just will get gooder and gooder for us. I'm looking now at Psalm 40, and there's another verse, verse 8, that sort of stopped me in my tracks, and I wanted to pray into the verse a little bit. It says, "I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart." And I wrote beside that in the column, "Amen, especially I take joy in being your will." Not just knowing it, not just doing it, but being the will of God. "And His instructions are written on my heart." In other words, what He desires is what I desire. And then we go on. There's another place where I just had to write again. Verse 11, it says, "Lord, don't hold back your tender mercies from me. Let your unfailing love and faithfulness always protect me." And I wrote these words in the column, "Indeed, unless your mercies were new every morning, my life would be over, destroyed, ruined." And so we do not want Him to hold back His tender mercies from us. We are glad that Lamentations 3 had it right, that His mercies are new every morning. And finally, Grace, and I'll let you speak in just a moment, but I'm really pumped up about verse 16. It ends with these four words, "The Lord is great." And so I just wrote these words out in the column beside verse 16. God is good. God is great. Yay, God. I mean, it's like a cheer. I just want to say to Him, because He's a wonderful, wonderful God, pours out His tender mercy so that our lives are not destroyed, our lives are not ruined, our lives are not over. He is a good God. He is a great God. And we can say, surely, yay, God.
Yes, Dad, God is good and God is great. And we should thank Him for all the things that He's done for us and not take any of the blessings in our life for granted, or any of the good things that He's done for us. We shouldn't take those for granted. And I think when you said, "Yay, God," that's a way of thanking Him or expressing our gratitude to Him.
Amen. And getting excited about God. You know, there's a lot of things in this world we can get excited about from time to time, but there's nothing that brings greater enthusiasm to the soul than to know that God is great, God is good. Yay, God. And every once in a while, we just need to give a cheer, I think, because He is the champion of our souls. His tender mercies are not held back. His unfailing love He lavishes on us. His faithfulness is always there to be our protection. And even when troubles surround us, too many to count, the psalmist said, we can indeed trust in the mercies of a merciful, wonderful, good, great God. Finally, I go down to Psalm 41. And here are the words of Psalm 41. "Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives them prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health. Oh, Lord, I prayed, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. But my enemies say nothing but evil about me. How soon will he die and be forgotten?" they ask. And I just wrote out beside that, "Lord, have mercy, Christ. Have mercy, Lord, on me." You know, back to this idea that we came to a little bit earlier about He is my Savior. He is your Savior. Yes, He's the Savior of the world, but He's a personal Savior. Well, I want to also say that He is our healer. And He's not just the healer of the world. He's not just the healer of the sick or the sin sick. He is the one who heals us. He heals us with His presence. He heals us with His great mercy. And how I love His mercy. He's such a kind God. And it really moves my heart to think how wonderfully kind He is to me. So Grayson, when you think about His kindness to you personally, what are some things you would like to praise Him for that He brings into your life, things that you like to count your blessings maybe, and say, "Yes, God has been kind to me, been merciful to even me."
There's too many things. Right off top of my head, the first thing that I think of is when I was a baby, when I was 4 months old and probably should have died, he preserved my life, he saved my life. So certainly giving me life is the first thing I think of that I am thankful for. The fact that he has given me life, the fact that he's given me a loving family and friends and a good job. Those are just some of the many things that I'm thankful for and that he's done for me. And I'm sure if we all think hard enough, we can think of things that we are thankful for, that he's done for us, that he's blessed us with in our lives.
Exactly. And because he's a personal God, we want to give personal thanks to him. We want to make sure that we just don't thank him generally for being so good and so great, but we thank him specifically for the things that he accomplishes in our lives day in and day out. You know, we said earlier, Grayson, that our life is but a breath. But you know what? He gives us every breath. The breath of life has been extended to us from the kind, merciful God. And we want to thank you today, oh God, wonderful God, for giving us breath, for giving us life itself. You are our life. And we are so very grateful, personally grateful, Lord, not just generally, but specifically, we say you are great, you are good, yay, God. We're going to close with verse 16 of Psalm 55. And I wrote out in my column on the side of this, just had to, but I will call on God and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress and the Lord hears my voice. You know, this is a big idea that God is a personal God. He's almighty. Don't ever forget that. He is the God of all creation. But he also created you and he created me. And to say that God cares about his creation is to say he cares about his created. And that would be you and me. He really is almighty God, but he really is personal God. It's really hard for us to understand. We can't fathom a great, great God being such a good, good God. But he is exactly both simultaneously. And so I wrote out beside verse 16, Psalm 55, I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. Why? Because the Lord rescues me. I will call upon the Lord in the morning. I will call upon the Lord at noon. I will call upon the Lord in the night. I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice. It's an amazing thing to know that we have a God that pays attention to his sons and daughters. And we are truly the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. And he really does care for us. I love the New Testament scripture that says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares for me. And today we want to give you this hope. He is a personal God. So Grayson, anything you want to add? And I'd like for us to leave with a song that will make our hearts want to celebrate today something about this God of ours, who is great, is good. Yay, God.
Yes, Dad, a couple thoughts that I have related to what you were talking about. Not only does he give us life here on earth, but he also gives us life in heaven in eternity. And we mentioned that, but that's another thing that we have to be thankful for. Also, Dad, you were talking about calling out to God in our distress. Well, not only can we call out to him then, but he wants us to call out to him at all times, whether we're going through hard times or good times. We always need to be calling on the name of the Lord, and he's always there for us, always available for us to talk to him, whether it be our concerns or just thanking him for his many blessings and thanking him for all the things that he's done for us. And we thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. We pray that it's been a half an hour of hope for your life.
And here's that song we promised. This is our friend Sheila Muskin. And Sheila Muskin is going to sing a great classic of the church. It was my grandfather's favorite song. I can hardly ever hear it without thinking about him. The song is titled, How Great Thou Art. Yay, God!
God, when I in awesome wonder come. consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think of God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.